And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, 106 in the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki alongside with our wonderful, talented Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. Bridget, good Friday Eve to you. We're almost there.
Well, it's very close. That's exactly right. It's been a pretty good day so far. Sun is starting to come out. I've seen some melting off of buildings and so forth. So, well, you know, that's our first winter snow already here and moving along.
How much did you get in your area?
I don't know. I would guess there was probably a couple inches on the ground out there.
Yeah.
You know, without having one of our official WDAY rain gauges up, I didn't get a total, but it's that time of year where I take the gauge out of the way. Even though I had a discussion just the other day with a listener who said, you could leave it up. Just take the center tube out and it'll measure snowfall for you.
Exactly.
But I chose not to.
Okay. Yeah, we officially picked up 3.4 here in the FM area, although there were some scattered reports of a little bit more than that. Let's see. Grand Forks picked up 3. Moorhead picked up 3.8. So generally 3 to 4 inches across much of the area. And we had more snow with this system than we did out of any snow event last winter. Remember, we had that
single snow event
last winter. Yeah, so we finally gave our snow blower away. We'll be announcing the winner on the Jay Thomas Show this afternoon, but because nobody had anything close last winter. Although, you know, I mean, we didn't have a 3-inch snowfall last winter, so we had to give it away somebody who guessed December of this year.
Absolutely.
I was chatting with the individual that won, and I said, okay. I said, how in the world did you – I said, tell me this was a joke. Like, I'm just going to put down December of next season just to be funny. He said, actually, he goes, I follow along the LRC. He goes, and with the dry October – with the dry start to the LRC, once I figured out the cycle length, he goes, I kind of tried to calculate it out where – all these systems were moving south of the area last year or north. And he said, so I had a gut feeling and I went with it. I'm like, oh, man, maybe we should hire you.
Well, Dean, on days when you're gone, would you give me his name and phone number?
I sure can.
That'd be excellent. I'll use him.
I sure can.
Work out really well.
No doubt about it.
Excellent.
No doubt.
So, yeah, we're there, and it's warming up just because the sun came out, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, and we're still cloudy here in the FM area, although we're starting to see a few – looking to the west, there's a few breaks in the clouds. So just west of the valley, there are going to see some breaks in the clouds, and we'll continue with at least some sunshine, especially west of the valley as we head throughout the afternoon, with highs today right around the upper 20s. The good news is areas that do see a little bit of sun will help melt off some of those residential streets that are compacted with ice. Be careful if you're in residential areas, a lot of icy conditions still. We'll have highs today, again, upper 20s with a northwest wind. A little breezy, 10 to 25, not as bad as yesterday. And then partly to mostly cloudy tonight, down into the upper teens. And Friday, we'll see a little more sunshine. We'll call it partly to mostly cloudy. Lighter winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10, highs close to 30. So we should, again, continue to melt off some of the ice on those residential areas. And then we'll see an increase in clouds on Saturday, highs in the upper 20s. A weak weather system moves our way as we head into late Sunday, Sunday night. Looks like mainly the northern valley going to get snow out of that, maybe a dusting to a half inch here in the FM area. But then we're quiet Monday and Tuesday. I do see the potential for some more light snow on Wednesday. I know that's right before Thanksgiving and people might be traveling. So keep up to date on the forecast for next Wednesday. It doesn't look like a big deal, but even an inch or so of snow could kind of snarl things up if you're doing any traveling. And then we've got to push. If you have any Black Friday plans, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be cold. We have a dump of cold air coming in from Canada, which will provide not only windy conditions right after Thanksgiving, but some of the coldest air so far this season. So we'll probably have highs in the teens, sub-zero wind chills. It's nothing we haven't seen before for Black Friday, but just a heads up if you're going to be out and about after Thanksgiving.
Well, just remember to dress warm, make sure your winter survival kits are in your vehicles, and maybe you didn't need that TV so bad that you want to stand outside and single-digit temperatures to pick that up on Black Friday. Now, do also remember that next Wednesday, I think it's almost fitting that it will be our LRC weather special here on the stations, and it's going to be a day that we could potentially have some snow, which means I'm probably going to be on the road. So for all of you in my direction, good luck. Best of luck, really. It's probably going to get a little out of hand.
If you're on the road, it will be. Yeah. I was on the phone with Gary last night. We were chatting. It was well over a half hour. And we were going over the LRC and what we, you know, kind of what we thought. He was just amazed at this last system that came through our area. He said the synoptic setup, or the weather setup, I guess you could say, was just incredible. He's like, I can't wait for this to come around in cycle 2 and cycle 3 later this winter. I said, yeah, me too.
I do find it funny that in the last couple of days, words that we make fun of here, as in atmospheric river and bomb cyclone,
have been used
out in the western part of the U.S. And again, I just sort of chuckle because add chemtrails and you have the trifecta of why did they make that up? So any part of atmospheric pressure or bombs or atmospheric river or bomb cyclone you'd like to dive into on weather today, Dean?
Well,
you're looking for that bomb cyclone.
I am. I can't find it. Where did Storm put there?
A bomb cyclone.
That one.
What's a bomb cyclone? I don't even know what to do.
And no one knows what it is.
We've got one off the West Coast. It's a very rapid drop in pressure of a low pressure system. This thing is huge off the West Coast. I mean, it is giving, the West Coast has been in drought, and it typically is either feast or famine along the coast. And boy, are they just getting, there's a bomb cyclone just parked north of Washington State, northwest of Washington State, and it just continues to funnel in moisture along the West Coast. That's the atmospheric river. So yeah. You know, maybe we should throw we got to get a chemtrail sounder too, just for you, Bridget.
No, we don't.
Are you sure?
Not really.
Okay.
Nope. I'm good. There are a ton of things going on agriculturally these days. Just some notes and reminders because there are so many. So not only do we have the weather special next week, Wednesday, so don't forget to tune in. We'll start kicking that off with our show at 1 o'clock, but certainly the big project, you could say, the finale will be from 2 to 5 with Jay Thomas. Then also a big announcement just this week. So Governor-elect Kelly Armstrong has announced that for his inaugural ball, which will be Saturday, January 18th, that there will be two charities designated as part of that ball. First of all, there will be a big emphasis on American Legion baseball, which really nods to his time as an American Legion baseball coach. But then also, there will be the opportunity to bring canned or non-perishable food items to the ball that'll be donated to the Great Plains Food Bank. And for my favorite charity, North Dakota FFA Foundation will be receiving cash donations from those who attend that night, because it is indeed a free event, but you can bring dollars to the door and drop them off. If you want to donate in advance, it would go to the Governor's Heritage Foundation. And again, that money will be split between North Dakota FFA Foundation and the Great Plains Food Bank. So look to support those as we bring a new governor into office in January.
Right. Correct. And a big thank you to Amanda. Just got an email from her. She goes, Dean, 3.4, but that was split between the days. We had 2.6 yesterday and 0.8 before midnight. Amanda, nice heads up. I like that. Thanks for keeping us on our toes.
She's catching
you. Well, I mean, we did receive 3.4 inches, but it was over 2 days, like right before midnight and then right. Yeah. So
there's a lot there.
Yeah. No doubt.
And then more to come. So if you have been hanging around indoors for the last day or two because of the weather and you're sort of an internet junkie, well, if you don't follow the Midwest Mom, she is a gal out of Minnesota, I would strongly suggest that you do. Melissa Estenson, I believe is her real name. Well, she just started a video series with the North Harvest Dry Bean Growers talking specifically about dry beans and how you can be using those in your everyday meal planning at home, where the beans come from, how we produce them here in North Dakota and Minnesota. It reminds me a lot of the Here We Grow videos that we have done on corn and soybeans in our region when it comes to the production that we've done in order to take our profits and give that money to charity. So again, you can check her out, The Midwest Mom. You'll find her on Facebook and Instagram, but she's telling the story of dry edible beans. And if you get an opportunity, take a watch. I think you'd enjoy it.
Cool.
And then continue to mark the calendars. It is trade show season for farmers. We've got lots going on. There's one today in Fargo. Farm QA has an event. There's more to be coming. I believe GK Technology has an upcoming event. North Dakota Ag Association will be the first week of December. And we're going all the way out to Agronomy on Ice on February the 5th. That'll be up at Devil's Lake. Mark that one down. In between, there's the Prairie Grains Conference in Grand Forks in early December. If you are thinking, what's the event calendar look like for all of these attractions? You can drop me an email, ag@flagfamily.com, and I would be happy to drop you an email back that gives you the dates and locations of some of the things that are going on that you can be attending. Again, trade show season. If you want to go to an ag meeting, there's one probably close to you just about every week. We could find something for you to attend.
And are we going to do agronomy? Are we going to do a WAG from Agronomy on Ice? I know we've been talking about that for the last couple of years. I think we've got to make that happen.
I don't know about you, but I will be there.
You'll be there. I know.
Yeah. If you want to swing by, you can. I will already be there.
I think we need to work that out. No doubt about it. No doubt. Well, we got a couple of special guests coming up on the show today, Bridget.
We do. We're going to be joined today by Gina and Alex Kerr with Kerr Action. And they're from down in the Illinois, Missouri area. And I've got a great relationship with these folks. I managed to visit with them, meet them in person this summer at the Farm Progress Show. And they've got a great story to tell about their operation and really the background of coming to an auction service when you're already farming and a variety of other things. So we're going to get to that and so much more. Stick with us. We'll be back after the American Ag Network. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us and spending part of your afternoon. And if you have questions as we go along today, don't be afraid to give us a call on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. If you are watching, you can be catching us on both Facebook, YouTube, as well as the Acres TV app. And that way you can catch the live stream. So when we're talking to guests, you can put a name and a face together. And today's names and faces, well, that includes Alex and Gina Kerr. Alex, Gina, how are you guys today?
Doing good.
Yep. Very good.
All right. Give us a little background. Where are you guys at? And I know you started farming. How long have you had the auction service, too?
Auction started in, we made the decision to do it for real in May. We were farming, buying and selling used machinery, and our local auction company got bought out a couple of years ago, and it became obvious that there was an opportunity there, and we went through the licensing process and had our first sale in July, and we've got four now between Tuesday and the end of the year.
Okay, so you guys are kind of on the line between Illinois and Missouri, correct?
Yeah, we're if you look at a map where Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri come together, we're about 40 miles south and east on the Illinois side.
So, Gina, did you grow up farming as well as Alex did and getting ready to get into the was it a quick decision to get in from farming to tractor jockey to, well, let's just sell equipment as auctioneers?
So I did not grow up with a farming family. I grew up in the country. My dad was a welder. My mom worked various jobs and stayed home a lot with us as children. And my introduction to farming was when I met Alex and we started dating at that point. Transitioning from farming to equipment, he has sold equipment for the entire time that I've known him. And so it just kind of progressively went on from there. We still farm. He went from working for equipment dealers to then after being married, we went out on our own. And going into the auction business, I don't feel was a huge step for us to make that jump.
Not really.
You guys were kind of already there, right?
And guys, for somebody that might be out there thinking, you know what, this is something I wouldn't mind doing, what kind of skills do you, would you say that you need to be a good auctioneer?
So neither of us are technically auctioneers. We own the business, and we hire the auctioneer.
Gotcha. So okay.
The skill is pretty amazing, the ones that actually can do it, but I just pay them by the day.
But that doesn't mean that you guys don't have to have the relationships with all those around you if you're going to be buying and selling with customers. I mean, when you think about it, where do your skills lie in creating the auction sites, lining things up, etc.? Is it just the fact that you know the equipment so well?
So there's a lot of strategy. I mean, the auctioneer, he sits in a truck and does his job for a few hours. The work before it and after it is what we do. The promotion, the advertising, and if it's an online-only sale, it's really easy. You snap some pictures of it, you leave it set where it is, and you let the internet do the work for you. And it worked really good during COVID because everybody expected it that way. Now that the ag economy slipped some and we're in a market where you got to fight for the dollars, it becomes more important to promote it in the right way and strategize it. So lining up equipment, I can look at a sale and see how they line stuff up and be like, yeah, they just threw it in. It is what it is, but you want to set your stuff to where your high dollar piece sets the tone maybe for the rest of your sale. Or if there's two of them alike, you want to, I always say if I'm buying, you always buy the first one. Well, a good auctioneer that lines up a sale makes it that way. The better buy is going to be the first one. And it carries the second one. It may bring almost the same money, and it was lesser quality.
And Alex and Gina,
the unrealized. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think the unrealized side of this business is how much work goes into the backside of stuff that you, as a buyer, do not see. It's making the phone calls and getting those consignments, which Alex is really the one that does that of the two of us. I don't do that. I'm more of the technical side of things when it comes to getting listings updated and pictures online. And we've got Matt who does some of the graphic stuff. He's been working on that, making the flyers. There's a lot more unrealized work into an auction than just showing up on auction day. And I think that's part of what we've learned. There's a lot more to it than just throwing some stuff out there. And
it seems like it.
Having people show up.
Right. Yeah. And guys, can you tell me, out of the years that you've been doing this and own the auction business, what's the most unique piece of equipment that you guys have had to sell?
So to sell on auction or that we've sold in our machinery business?
Auction. For auction. Anything that stands out?
I can't think of anything
Not really.
Okay.
Not for the auction.
Ask about the machinery business, that's different.
Yes.
Yeah. The machinery business, mine is the 4320 that we sold to New Zealand, that we repainted, redid everything about it, took a tractor that sold new for $13,000 at its peak, sold it for $40,000+, and then they had another $15,000 shipping it over there, and now it's supposedly the only 4320 in New Zealand. Mm-hmm.
There'll be more stories like that, I think, because
I would think.
That one's unique so far, but there's more of those unique stories that you all have. And so it's bottom of the hour. We're going to touch on the news, but when we come back, I have a whole pile of questions that include, okay, so upcoming sales that you've got, and at least one of them is some specialty equipment. And you have a unique story about how you wound up doing a sale in Wyoming when y'all are sitting over there next to Illinois, Missouri. Well, this might be a little bit of a challenge for some people to see how you got there. So we'll sort that all out when we come back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, and thanks for joining us. Remember that if you have questions, you can call 701-293-9000, the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. And just like Amanda did earlier, we greatly appreciate emails. You can reach me at ag or Dean at weather at flagfamily.com. Now, we've got with us guests today. They are Alex and Gina Kerr. They are with Kerr Auction. And folks, you guys are over in the Illinois-Missouri border area, but you're having an auction in Wyoming. And how? How exactly do you line up getting an auction several states away? What's that story?
Well, when we started our first sale, we had two young men that actually didn't live that far from us wanted to do an auction here. And we did our first one with them, and the one sold equipment and was out delivering a tractor into, where was he headed?
He was headed for Utah. And he broke down.
He broke down in Wyoming, and he is part of a Mennonite community, and stopped for the weekend, went to church, and met a young lady, and not many months later, they were engaged and they were married last May, and he moved to Torrington, Wyoming, and he was happy with the way, must be happy with the way, because we have a sale coming up. He wanted to do it there. And so that's how we ended up in Torrington. And we said, okay, if you want to do one, we'll come help you.
That area has been amazing to watch. They bought 10 acres where he, right across the road from where he's kind of living. And the support of that sale, they're over 300 lots on they're their first sale.
Pushing 400.
Really?
Pushing 400 lots, yeah.
That's going to be a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
And I've been getting phone calls. Well, there's nothing but online only out here. And we want a sale where we can just haul our stuff in, drop it off, and somebody mails us a check. We don't want to have to load it ourselves. We don't want stuff. We don't want people on our farm. We just want it gone. And it's like that area was starved for a consignment sale.
In person.
Yeah.
An in-person sale.
And it'll be interesting. It's this coming Tuesday. We're going to drive out because plane tickets ahead of
Thanksgiving were very high.
Oh, yeah.
I bet they were.
I flew Matt out there twice, and it was really cheap. He lands in Scott's Bluff, gets a car, drives out. But this time, when there's five of us going, it is not going to work that way.
Now Alex, you had mentioned earlier that during COVID, people expected online sales. Are you seeing more online sales now post-COVID and especially being in kind of a down farm economy?
So all auction companies, and I'm not saying we won't do it sometime. It's really easy to do an online only sale versus an in-person.
Sure.
And you see a lot of that because, you know, who wouldn't want to, well, you want to sell your stuff, we'll have eight pieces and we'll have it at 5 p.m. on Saturday night and throw it on proxy bid. But the problem is if it's not advertised well and you don't have enough people watching it, you know, George that is a rep for us watched one of those sales and he almost bought every piece on it just to resell it.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So there's something about a promotion or around a 400 lot sale or bigger that you don't get when you just throw 10 pieces at a time on an internet site and hope that you got the right people bidding on it.
Right.
And I think people miss the interactions too. You know, some guys will just go to the sale for something to do, especially through this time of year where they're done farming. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're done farming, or maybe they're tired for a while and they want to go do something else. They want to go see their neighbor, or they want to see people they haven't seen in a while.
It used to be a community event.
Yeah.
Greg Peterson put this on his Facebook page and we reshared it, that people miss the on-site sale. And the comments on it are incredible. It was more overwhelming than I even thought. And so as long as we can have big enough turnouts, that's the direction we're headed.
And guys, we got an email question from one of our listeners asking, if someone buys a piece of equipment and they're out of state, who arranges the transportation for that item to the buyer's farm?
So that is usually buyer responsibility. We don't charge loadout or loading at any of our sites, which there are some where you got to pay to remove your duals. You got so many days to get removed. We're going to handle your load and your tear down at no expense. We do have on the bottom of our website preferred trucking companies that we use that we know are reputable, that aren't going to take off with it and break the mirrors off of it. And
people we use in our equipment business to haul our own stuff when we have, if that's part of that deal or whatever, people that we trust to haul stuff and that they can hire them independently.
We are not a trucking company ourselves.
Well, I like that, you're giving them someone that you trust and you've done business with. So you know that whatever you sold on the auction is going to arrive for the farm in excellent condition. Number one, that's important to the buyer. But then two, my question is, if you look at right now what's going on with the farm equipment sales, new sales have really slumped. But we know that what was once a really high dollar secondary market has gotten a little less expensive. Are there particular pieces that folks are looking at? Is, for instance, are we all trading combines right now? Is there a specific tractor that we're looking for? What do you see the most interest in the secondary market right now?
I mean, tractors always find their way out. Combines are always strong in August. I don't know if there's a specific thing right now that people are looking for so much. There's things they should be doing. If you want to update the planter, that they are heavily discounted. You can buy a planter for 40% less than what they had been bringing just 2 years ago. And that makes the one in your shed worth a considerable less more. But if you have a $80,000 planter and you have to take $50,000 for it, it's not that big a deal if you're buying a $400,000 planter for $200,000.
Okay. That makes a lot more
sense. You're saving so much right now. And the dealers have created this environment where they are wholesaling 1 and 2 year old stuff to stop paying interest on it. And they're making the farmer basically do the trade on his own, which I do like this because I get to make a percentage off the dealer. And then the farmer that buys it turns around. And he's like, well, now that I got that bought, I've got to get rid of this. So he just brings it back in and we get a percentage of that. But
well, of course, this is a good thing, Alex. Otherwise, you wouldn't be
off onto the farm.
If this wasn't a good thing, Alex, that wouldn't be a business. That'd be called volunteerism, and nobody's in business to volunteer for the most part. So, okay, Gina, when people buy, you had told me before that there's three different ways. One of them is including your app that folks can do the bidding. Can you outline what those are for folks who are listening in case they want to start looking at it? And then, by all means, we're going to talk about where your sales are and what's coming up on them.
Sure. So the easiest thing that we have is the Kerr Auction app. And you can get that either through Apple or Google, depending on what kind of phone you have. And that platform surprised me because it was very user-friendly. And if you, you know, like an item or something, you can even without bidding on it, you can add it to the My Lists tab, and it will keep all of the things you're interested in one spot. So you can kind of go look and see where it's at without having to scroll through the whole list. So the app is one thing. And then, of course, just herauction.com, there's a thing there to bid. And then we also are utilizing, I don't know if you can see it or not.
No, you can't. I tried.
Equipment Facts and Proxy Bid. So both of those locations have our sales are listed on there. And, yep, I see it there on the screen. And that lists our four sales that we got coming up. We were surprised at how, I was especially, at how really nice the app actually is. I did not realize that when we started down this path, and it's very, very user-friendly. You can look at invoicing on there. It's got a lot of features that I didn't realize we were going to get when we started down the path with the company that we chose. I was very pleased.
Gina, you just said the magic words for farmers, that it's really easy. That's the best part. So yes,
if you can, go ahead, if you Alex, can download an app to your phone, you can do this.
Here's the next farmer thing they'll like. I hate a buyer's premium on sale. As a jockey, I've always hated that. So, and I feel like the auction company, they're charging the seller commission, and then they're charging the buyer commission to buy it. He's double dipping. So we're free on our platform. So if you buy a piece for $100,000, you're going to wire me $100,000. To where if you buy it on Proxy Bid or Equipment Facts,
there is
a buyer's premium because they're charging me. So I'm going to pass it on. Mm-hmm. But
oh, fair. Yes.
If you buy it on the Kerr Auction site, no premium.
And that includes the app.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got a site, you've got an app, but what are the four sales that are coming up? What are the sale locations and dates as we wrap up here so we make sure folks know where to find you?
The first one coming up is in Torrington, Wyoming. It is November the 26th, so the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We have a specialty livestock sale coming up in December on the 10th. And that will be livestock-related equipment, no live animals. So we got a lot of hay lined up, manure pumping stuff, that kind of thing. December the 19th in Mount Sterling, Illinois. And it is our consignment, our home-based consignment sale. And then we have one to finish up the year in Alma Center, Wisconsin on December the 30th.
All right. Gina.
And a half years north of us.
Yes, ma'am.
I love how you guys have got these scattered all over so many different places, but then you've also given folks, again, that ability to do online and in person. Go ahead, Alex.
Do you want to host one, Bridget? We'll come to North Dakota.
All the things that I have to sell are like this big, right? They're all tractors, little toy tractors.
You're just going to have to go get the consignments. It's a lot of work. Go out in the country and make it happen.
All my free time. Okay, got it.
I didn't say you had to work for free. We'll give you.
Oh, but you just assumed I had extra time in my day, but we'll talk offline, Alex. I maybe have some ideas. So, all right. Gina and Alex Kerr with Kerr Auction.
And you can find you at
kerrauction.com.
Ooh, I like that idea.
If you guys want to come to Agronomy on Ice, we can make a lot of things happen. I can fit something in. So, all right. Thanks, you guys, for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank
we'll
you
be
both
back
very
in just
much.
A few moments.
We appreciate this.
Thanks, guys.
This was fun. Thanks. Be right back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Want to thank you, everybody, for joining us. I got a few minutes left in the show. We'll do a quick recap of weather here with the temperatures in the upper 20s. There's a little bit of sunshine starting to try and break through here in the valley. And looking out the window, looking west and northwest, you can see a little more blue sky with temperatures in the upper 20s. Out to our west and north, we're looking at teens to low 20s. A little colder out to the west, but we're going to be having below normal temperatures all the way through the weekend and into Thanksgiving week as well. I don't see any big storms on the horizon, but I do see a couple of minor systems, one Sunday going north of us and then one Wednesday. I know Wednesday's a big travel day. That doesn't look to be a big deal, but even if it was 1 to 2 inches, yeah, that could be enough to grease up those roadways right before Thanksgiving. So keep up to date with the forecast if you're doing any traveling for next week. But one thing for sure, some really cold weather is going to pour down here on Black Friday, it looks like, probably Thanksgiving night and into Black Friday as strong north winds will develop. And we've got a pretty good punch of Arctic air, modified Arctic air. But, I mean, for this time of the year, we'll probably be having highs in the teens and sub-zero wind chills. So get the winter gear out if you don't already have it out. It's amazing because we started off this week in the 50s with rain. And what a difference as we head to the end of the week. That's that time of the year, though.
It is. And we always say, if you're worried about what the weather is doing right now, wait 5 minutes.
Right.
And that's generally what our lives are like up here. So not a surprise.
No doubt.
As a reminder, if you are a beef producer and you are going to be shipping off to the packers, et cetera, very soon, many of them require that you get your Beef Quality Assurance Act certifications done, or Beef Quality Assurance training done. And you can do that. University of Minnesota is holding one right away next week, Tuesday. That's from 7 to 9 p.m. So if you're looking for the link to register for that BQA training, I can pass that along to you. NDSU does several of them as well. The reason we do BQA training is if you are shipping, it proves that you have been an expert in livestock handling and safe management. You understand the rules and regulations of antibiotic use and so much more. And so these also give you current updates and information that are happening within that industry. And so taking that is a great annual reminder. It's kind of like being recertified for pesticide applicators every 3 years, et cetera. So that's one thing for folks to take part in and get that done as we get closer to the winter months where we're shipping more livestock in. And then also, there's a breed of beef that we don't talk about very often. They're the Chianeas, and they are from Italy. It reminds me of that movie talking about a nice Chianti, except the Chiania is probably one of the biggest and even can be considered one of the most aggressive beef breeds in the world. And by biggest, I mean that their bulls stand 6.5 feet tall at the shoulder and can weigh up to 3,500 pounds. They're a large animal. Most of the Chiania have been bred to be a bit more gentle, but they have been known to be fairly aggressive, which is why you've got to be careful if you're not AIing your cows. That's a big bull to be releasing, especially with your heifers. So sometimes you've got to make some decisions about making sure the heifers don't get injured, because it's a large framed animal. Calves are birthing weights of about 110 pounds. Mm. Chianias are easily recognizable by their white hide. They can sometimes be considered like a cross with the Charolais, but if you're looking for a bigger breed, especially that bigger frame, Chianias might be something to think about. They realistically were first introduced into the U.S. in 1972, so they're actually a little bit new here, if you will, but Chianias have always had a bit of a place in our hearts.
How many are in the United States? Do you know offhand, Bridget?
As far as how many in the registry?
Correct.
The registered herd shows that there's about 30,000 registered.
Wow.
But there might be more than that that are not registered.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
that's just a small portion of the millions of head of beef animals in the U.S.
No doubt. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The number one show in the USA, Jay Thomas Show. That's coming up next.